Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. The third line tells us the Mishnah Chalal spoil on Divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, the Chalal is that when we make the Michas Mafatan, we mix the oil in when they're Chalas. They're mixed in when they're soiled. So the Gemara expands on this halacha. Tana Rabbanan teaches us the Braisa. The pasuk says, "V'mecha machvas kabenecha soilus belula b'shemen malamet shenivlelus kishi soilus." That even though the Torah says, speaking here about the mechas machvas, says Rashi, but the Torah is not limiting this halacha to the mechas machvas, and the Torah is telling us that by all minchas we mix in the oil when it's soilus. Rabbi Omer. Rebbe says chalas by the lam. We mix it in when they're ready chalas. Namam, because the pasuk says chalas matzis blulz b'shemen. And again, even though this pasuk is speaking about the minchas mafa, the halacha is, as we mentioned as recently in our previous year, that all carbon minchas are learned one from the other. The carbon aaron has an interesting approach to this Gemara. He says that the Chacham I'm going to explain that the pasuk of Chalas Belulus that the Torah says by Michas Mafa Tanner is that they're ready. How are they going to deal with this pasuk? He says they're going to explain that this pasuk means to say that after they were mixed as soilus, that's when we now have Chalas that have oil in them. Amalai, to which they said. To which the Chum say to Rabbi Yehuda, the chalas that come with the carbon taida, the pasuk says nema behen. The Torah says chalas matzis blul b'shemen. Yefshel avolim kishchalas. The Gemara is going to explain why it can't possibly mean that you're mixing in the oil when they're ready chalas elasoilus. As the Gemara is going to explain, the pasuk must be saying that you're mixing them when the soilus. From here we learn that in other places, even though the Torah uses the words chalas belulus, it means that they're belulus when they are still soilus. Ketzer Eiser. So Gemara explains what does that mean. Nois and Shema b'kli koidim l'siyasan. Before they put the flour into the keli, they put oil into that keli. The nois noi, and then you put the flour into the keli, the nice and shem alam, and then on top of that, you put oil or boil alam, and then you mix the flour and the oil, and then we knead it. And as we spoke earlier in Amasechta, it's kneaded with lukewarm water. That will make the best result. V'oifa, and then we bake it. And then, as we're also, Mitzvah Shem, going to be discussing, we make it into pieces. Gemara is going to explain what that means. Mitzvah Shem and Vinois and Lashemen. Then we put on oil again. The reason we put on oil again is to fulfill the mitzvah of Yitzika, the Kaimitz. This is the way the Rabbanon explain is the process for making preparing the carbon mincha. Because they say the oil is put in when it's still flour. Rebbe has a different approach. Chalas by lam, you mix them when they're ready. Chalas, based on what they quoted the pasuk, shenem chalos belulus b'shemen. So they explain ketz oisa what has been done. Nois and shemen b'kli kodem l'siyasai. We put the oil at the bottom of the keli, as we learned a moment ago. For nois and then we put the flour into the keli. The losha and we knead it. As we said a moment ago, we need it with lukewarm water, the oifa, and we bake it, or paisasa, and we divide it into pieces. And after all of that, when it's already after baked and divided into pieces, then by the way, we mix it with oil, and we put oil on top of it to do the mitzvah of yitzika, and then kaimitz. We take off the kemitza. Says the Gemara, when the Chachamim addressed Rebbe, the Chacham said, "Eif shel voilalon kishen chalas." The can't be mixed when they're ready chalas. The Karmelei Rabbanon, the Rebbe Mahi, Rebbe just was able. The Gemara is asking. The Rebbe was just able to explain how we can do it, how it's possible to be done, even when they're ready made into chalas. So what was meant when it was said that we can't do it when it's chalas? Answers the Gemara. Amar of Shmuel by Yitzchak Revi Shemen Hi. The amount of oil that we use for the chalas of the rekikin of the carbon tied up is only Revi's halog. And now we end up with very small amount of oil. The Hechmes Chalakis Lakama Chalas. The carbon toida comes with many chalas, as we learned and are going to learn. So how could it possibly, if you're mixing the oil in when they're flour, it's going to be a lot. That it's going to be when, if they're ready mixed when they're chalas, it's going to be the dry loaves and they absorb a lot of oil. It must be that we're mixing them in when they're still soilless. And since we're mixing it in when it's still soilless, so then there is no problem to just not have so much oil. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that mixing it before you bake it, then by the chalas, explained the Mefarshim, is an issue to mix so much that if you're going to have so little oil, it's going to be difficult. But the Gemara clearly, I saw the Mefarshim explain, Dar Sameicha actually says this word, when we're speaking about rekikin, the wafers, there the small amount of oil is really not a problem. We learned further in the Mishnah, chalas tunus belila, that the chalas require mixing, rekikin, whereas the wafers, all they need is mishicha, just being smeared with oil. And the Gemara focuses on this thing. Tana Rabbanan says, the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, when the Torah HaKadosh speaks about the Mechas Mafa Tanur, Torah HaKadosh says the word, Chalas Matzis Belulus B'Shemen, V'Rikike Matzis Meshuchim B'Shemen. The fact that the Torah uses the word Belila by the Chalas, Chalas Belulus, we learn from here that only the Chalas have this issue that they need Belila. However, loy rekikin beluin. When we speak about the rekikin, there's no issue of beluin. Suggests the Gemara loy dinhu. We could have actually made an argument. If the chalas that they don't need to have meshicha, they don't need shmearing. Tunis belila, they still require belila rekikin. So when we speak about the rekikin, chetunin meshicha, that they do require meshicha. So in that way, they're treated more strictly than the chalas. So shouldn't we suggest, ain't it din shetun and belila, that they also should have to have belila, not just the chalas, but also the rekikin should have to have belila. Tamalayma, to that says the pasuk chalas belulus, that this halacha only applies by the chalas, for lo rekikin belulun. We learned furthermore in the Mishnah, the rekikin meshuchin, the rekikin require smearing with oil, but not the chalas. Says again the Gemara that Yochel, we could have actually made an argument for Leidinhu, my rekikin shein tuna belila. If the rekikin that don't require belila, tuna meshicha, so chalas tunas belila. So when we speak about the chalas that was saying that they have to have belila, and therefore they're stricter than the rekikin that don't require belila, ain't a din. So certainly the halacha is that tuna meshicha, that they should require meshicha. Tamalayma, rekika meshuchim. The Torah says rekika meshuchim. And from here we learn that the rekikin require meshicha, v'loi chalas meshuchais, but the chalas do not require meshicha. Ask the Gemara. So what we're learning in this limud is that only the chalas have belila, and only the rekikin have meshicha. Ask the Gemara, my Talmudah, why are we explaining the pasuk that way? Amar Rava, so answers Rava, loyal shtamblik the chalas meshuchas rekikin belulim. That can't be any other explanation, because we don't find anywhere that the Torah says, when the Torah speaks about the various Korban Mincha, that the Torah should say that the Chalas have Mashicha. It doesn't say anywhere that the Rekikin have Belila. The fact that the Torah is so specific that this is always the halacha, that the Chalas always have a mention Belila, and the Rekikin always mention Mashicha, it obviously is for a reason. What is the reason? The Torah is trying to tell us that only this way is the halacha, and in any other way is not fulfillment of what the Torah wants us to do. Continues the Gemara, Ketzin Moshchan, as we discussed in the Mishnah, how exactly is the Mashicha done? Kamin Ki, like the letter Ki of the Greek alphabet, as we discussed in the previous year, there are many different explanations of what that letter looks like. Vashah Nechal, and then the Mishnah said the rest of it is eaten. My Kami Ki, ask the Gemara, what is the definition when we say Kami Ki? Amar Rav Kahana, Kami Ki Yevani, like the letter Ki in the Greek alphabet. Tanur Rabbanan, continues the Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan, Mincha Bo Mechza Chalas and Mechza Rikika. If somebody is bringing Chalas and Rikikin, so the halacha is that when somebody brings Chalas, when, as we said, the Michas Mafa, the Torah gives us a choice. We could bring Chalas or Rikikin. And the opinion of Tanakama is that you have a choice, either Chalas or Rikikin, but you can't bring both. Ask the Gemara, Tanabana Micha Ba Mechza Chala Mechza Rikikin, if it comes half Chalas and half Rikikin, maybe, so, which is Rav Shimon's opinion, that you can make a combination, maybe like Shemin, you bring the like Shemin, that you have to always bring with the Korban Mincha, v'chotzeyu, and you divide it in two. Chatzil Chalas v'chatzil Rikikin. Half are used for the Chalas and half are used for the Rikikin. V'chalas b'ilulim, and when we speak about the Chalas, we mix them with the oil, as we've been learning, and the Rikikin, Moshchan, we smear it with the meal, with the oil. Moshchach has a Rikika, we smear the rokik with the half a log of oil, apnei kuloi, and we smear it all over. This price is clearly disagreeing with what we learned in the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah we just said we learned that the way it's done, it's just a kamin ki. And here it says in the Braisa that when we're smearing the oil on the rokok, that's a pnei koloi, b'shara shemen, and since even if we're going to do mashicha this way, we're certainly going to have leftover oil. The leftover oil is machzir lechalas. We use for the chalas. Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Rav Shimon, Omer Moshchan Kamin Ki. He disagrees. He says, like we learned in the Mishnah, that we only shmir like the letter ki, b'shar shem, but here he agrees that the nechal kohanim is eaten by the kohanim. Why? What is the basis of the machloikis? That when we speak about shmiring the rokik, do we shmir it apnei kuloi over the entire amount, or do we only shmir it like kamin ki? The question is, how do we learn the pasuk? Because the pasuk explains the re'ein, that the pasuk says the word b'shemen twice. So we know there's a rule, ein ribui achar ribui elamat. When we have a double ribui, it actually comes to exclude. And we learn from him, from this miut, that don't shmir the entire rokik, just make a ki. There are other explanation that in this machlokes. Tanya idach, another b'raisa, rekik abob mefnei atzmai. If somebody only brought Rikikin, again, maybe like Shemin and Mashcha, so now we take the entire loig, use it to shmir the Rikikin, the Chayza Mashman, and then you again shmir it, at Sheikh Lekal Shemin Shabalog, keep on shmiring until you use up all the oil. Rav Shimon Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Mashcha Kamin Ki, he disagrees, he says that the halacha is that you shmir it like just like the letter ki, and after you shmir like the letter ki, v'sha nechal l'kahanim, that it's all eaten for the all eaten from the Kahanim. The Mishlam Melech I saw asks, here the Gemara says, a Moshchan, the Chayzer Moshchan, we keep on smearing it over and over until it's all used up. Why is it necessary to do so? Why can't we just put on a lot of oil and then the leftover oil, or just a lot of oil, and pour it on? Says the Mishnah Melech that there's two halachas. There's a halacha how the yitzika has to be done, and there's a specific halacha and how the mashiach has to be done. And just pouring a lot of oil is not doing the mashiach properly. And therefore, the halacha is that we should keep on smearing. Another explanation I saw in the Yad David, that you can't, if you put too much oil, you're really not accomplishing anything. And since if you put on too much oil, you're not accomplishing anything, that's why the Torah says, don't put on, keep on doing a little at a time. But I saw, interestingly enough, that the Chazon Ish actually holds that, yes, the Gemara here is saying that you keep on doing Mashiach. But the Chazon Ish suggests that that isn't necessarily required. And if somebody wants to put all of the oil in one time, it would be okay. Furthermore, according to the opinions that say that you do Mashiach over and over again, I saw Machloikis Achroinim, do you wait after you do the first Mashiach until it gets absorbed in the Rekika and then do the next Mashiach? Or can you do Mashiach every time? Can you do it even before it got totally absorbed? The Mishnah Melech's opinion is that you have to wait. Because the Mishnah Melech says that we're learning in our sugya that there's different halachas when we do this carbon. There's the Mashiach, which we're discussing, and there's the Yitzika. And there's a very big difference between Mashiach and Yitzika, suggests the Mishnah Melech. Mashiach means to smear, and Yitzika means to pour. If you're not going to wait, he says, until it gets absorbed, so the second time you put on the oil and you think you're doing Mashiach, it's really Yitzika because it's just going to sit on top. The Chazon Ish is not concerned with that because he says that Mashiach is done with the yad, with your hand, and the Yitzika is done with a kli. So therefore, he says, as long as you're doing the Mashiach over and over, but you're not using a keli, it doesn't fall into the category of Yitzika, and therefore, it's not necessary to wait until it gets absorbed. Rabbi Leib Malin explains, what is the machloikis here? We have a most fundamental machloikis. If we use over the oil, if we use all the oil up to do this, or do we just use the give the leftover oil to the Kohanim? So he explains that the Tanna Kamma's opinion is that just like there's halacha blila, as we've been learning in our shir, when we speak about chalas, the same thing applies that there's halacha of mashiach by shemen. So there's no question, as we've been learning, that when we do blila on the chalas, we use up all of the oil. So similarly, the halacha will be that the mashiach of the rekikin, which is corresponding to the belila of the chalas, requires that we use up all the oil. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda's opinion is that mashiach and belila are two separate acts. And he says that's the entire basis for the opinion of Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. One, when we talk about the challah, we put the oil on the entire challah. His opinion is that we only make a key. And similarly, according to the by challah, we have to use up all of the oil for belila. That will not be required when we talk about the mashiach of the rokik. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim teaches us that if a flour that was made with oil, with wine, there's no real chametz. And as we've explained many times, that if somebody doesn't use any water. He only uses what we've called meperis. The halacha is that that can't become chametz. Meperis, if they're combined with water, actually, that's the problem, one of the problems with matzah shira, actually can become chametz even quicker than with water alone. With water alone, we know it typically takes 18 minutes. When we have a combination of meperis and water, it can be quicker. But that's only when we have a combination of meperis and water. In a situation where we only have meperis, the halacha is that it's not going to become chametz. And the halacha is that we only could use for matzah something that can become chametz. This is not something that can become chametz. And therefore, it can't be used to be kind of the mitzvah of matzah. Moreover, it's not considered lechem oini. So the halacha is, as we said, that if you want to make sure that it doesn't become chametz, make sure that we only have fruit juice. And therefore, in any case where they are using fruit juice, in any bakery that they're using fruit juice, they're only going to use fruit juice and make sure not use any water. Up to the point that I saw that the Birka Yosef suggests that there were communities that when they made matzah and they have to wash the equipment that they used to make the matzah, they don't wash it with water. They wash it with meperis. Because if there's some water left over, that water can make the flour chametz. But if it's only meperis, then the halacha is that you don't have that problem. Of course, the problem is when you're going to add the water into that keli, so then you may have a problem. The question is, as we just said, you can't fulfill the obligation of matzah on Pesach with matzah asherah. However, the Maral says that since we're learning that if there's a drop of water, it can become chametz, so the fact that it's matzah shira, since it may have water, so it can become chametz, so maybe it can be used. But other paiskim say that, and this is all relevant to our Gemara because they mixed oil in the making of the mincha. But on the other hand, as we learned, it has to be matzah. But as we learned, and this is a very important point, that when we speak about a karban mincha, there's no requirement that the karban mincha be lechem oini. But when we speak about matzah to be yotze the mitzvah on the first night, there's another requirement that it's lechem oini. And once you mix it with these different types of fruit juices, eggs or oil, whatever, it's not considered lechem oini. So now we begin, as we said earlier in our shir, to learn the halacha petita, psisa. The Torah, when it speaks about the karban mincha, says, pasos oisam pitam v'yosakto le'shemen minchahi. Here we learn that after we bake the karban mincha properly, we have to divide it into small pieces, and then we do yitzika, and after we do yitzika, then we're going to do the kamitza. So says the Mishnah, kala menachas anasa b'keli, all menachas that are made in a kli sharis, the halacha is tuna petita. So we're learning here a number of halachas. One is that there's a new halacha, a petzisa, and the mitzah petzisa is that after it's a chala, then we have to do petzisa. And the halacha is that what happens if you did not do enough psisa, if you didn't do a psisa, the halacha is that if you didn't do psicha, then the halacha is that the mincha is possible. The halacha of psisa is that you have to do the mincha, the psisa. Not only do you have to do the psisa, you can't do a proper kamitza without doing psisa. Says the Malamute Mai. So the Mishnah says that kol menuchas anasa b'keli tunas pita. The Mishnah is apparently trying to teach us that there's some minchas that are not made in a keli. And since they're not made in a keli, there's no requirement for psisa. What is God coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, Amar HaPapa, L'muti Shtei Lechem V'Lechem Aponim. From here we learn that the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Aponim don't have an obligation to make psisa, because they're not made in a Kli Sharis. And if they're not made in a Kli Sharis, then it doesn't have a Chiyuv for psisa, as the Mishnah says, only something made in a Kli Sharis. It's baked in the oven. So we see from here that the halacha is that the tanur is not considered a klisha. The tanur is not considered a klisharis. Tanur abonim continues the Gemara. The Braisa teaches us, as we learned, the pasuk says pasus oisapitim v'yotzakdo leo shemen minchehi. The pasuk is because minchehi. So if the way to understand the pasuk is the pasuk saying that anything that falls into the category of a mincha, that anything that's in that category should require pesisa. Yochel shani marba. If that's the case, that should teach us that after shtei lechem lechem upon him should also require pesisa. Tamaloimer pasus oisai, that the loch is that pesisa is only by certain, not by all. The Rishonim point out that this question and answer is only according to Rabbanan. The opinion of the Rabbanan is that we could do psisa even by menachas that don't have kmitza. But according to Rav Shimon's opinion, that there's never psisa unless there's a kmitza, because Rav Shimon's opinion is that the entire purpose of the psisa is in order to be able to do the kmitza. So certainly the shtei lechem and the lechem aponim don't have any kmitza. If there's no kmitza, then there won't be any need for psisa. Continues the Braisa. The pasuk says, "Pasus oisais pitim v'yotzakta aleha shemen minchehi." The pasuk is saying that the requirement for yitzika is by something which is a mincha. If that's the case, the halacha ought to be the rabbis called menachas litzika, that every carbon mincha should have to have yitzika. Yochel ani marba af michas mafa, that the halacha should be that even by mechas mafa it should require yitzika. Tamaloimer, the pasuk says, allow shemen, that only certain kabbarnas mecha require yitzika and some don't. Oitzi es achalis. So the question is that the chalis, and we're learning, and the Gemara will tell us soon why, that we're learning that we're excluding the mechas mafa tanner. But suggests the Gemara that maybe only the chalis. As we learned, when you bring a mafatana mincha, you could bring chalas or you could bring rikikin. So maybe when you bring chalas, there won't be a loch of yitzika. V'loi oitzias rikikin. But if you make them into rikikin, that both of these type of carbon minchas are excluded from the loch of yitzika. Tamaloima minchahi. There's another miut, and the other miut, so we have two words to mimat, and we have two words to mimat. One is chalas and one is rikikin. Why, asked the Ravid, do we say that the first pasuk is about chalas? Because that's the pasuk that speaks about chalas. Since that's the pasuk that speaks about chalas, it makes sense that that's the first one that we would exclude. Why, asked Rashi, do we say that we're using this to teach us that the mafatana doesn't require yitzika? Maybe as we've been learning throughout the shir, that we're excluding shtei lechem and lechem aponim, that they, just like we said, they don't require pesisa, they shouldn't require yitzika. And Rashi answers a very simple teretz, because there's no oil in those kabanas. And if there's no oil in those kabanas, then obviously, there's not going to be any yitzika when there's no oil. Says the Gemara. So we're learning that which carbon mincha is excluded? The mincha mafatana. Ask the Ramai Talmud, why do we say that? Ema, maybe we should say that it's excluding the michas kahanim. And the reason is because the michas kahanim is not taught together with all the other carbon minchas. And maybe what the Torah is teaching us, that it's treated differently and it doesn't have yitzika. Answers Gemara. Amar Rava, Ezer Dovish Tzarech Shtei Miutim. As we just discussed, the Torah was very deliberate to give us two exclusions from the requirement of Yitzhika. And as we explained the Gemara, it made much sense. What do I mean when I say it made much sense? Because which is the kind of Karban Mincha that has two varieties? The Michas Mafatana has two varieties. It has the Chalas Rikikin. But when we speak about the Michas Kohanim, there aren't two varieties. That's why if we see that the Torah excluded two, it must be, have a Omer, that the Torah is excluding the Michas Mafa. Continues the Mishnah in teaching us exactly how Petisa was done. Michas Yisrael, a Mincha that Yisrael brings, where you have to do Kemitza. Kaifel Ech L'Shnayim, you fold it into two, and then after you fold it into two, the Shnayim L'Arba, then you fold it into four, or Mavdal, and then you separate these pieces. The reason you have to separate the pieces then is because the Torah says, Pasos Oysom Pitim. So the Torah is saying, keep on separating. That's what Rashi explains. The Rashba has a different explanation. He suggests that the main purpose of dividing them is to be able to do kmitza. Says the Rashba that if they're still connected, we haven't accomplished anything. Only when we completely separate them do we accomplish something by folding them and making the kmitza easy to be done. But therefore, continues the Mishnah, Michas Kohanim, so we know that the Torah HaKadosh, as we keep on learning, when it speaks about the Michas Kohanim, says, Kolo, it's completely burnt. And if the Torah says it's completely burnt, and there's no kmitza, so here, now, as we just learned, the Halacha will be, Kaifel Echad L'Shnayim, fold into two, V'Shnayim L'Arba, V'Enem Avdol. But there's no need to divide up these pieces because there's not going to be any kmitza. Koy Mashiach, the mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings every day, the Michas Chavitim, says the Mishnah, Loyay Mekapla. That Karban Mincha wasn't made into Pitim at all because, explained the Rishonim, the Torah says that we want it to be brought as is without any other petisa, without any other requirements. Certainly, because there's no kmitza, and moreover, since it's the Michas Chavitim is not taught together with all the other Karban Minchas, it's an indication that this doesn't require petisa. Rav Shimon Amar Michas Kohanim, the Michas Koyim Mashiach, the Michas Kohanim that we've been discussing, that the Kohanim bring that doesn't have kmitza, the Michas Chavitim, ain't ben petita. There's no reason for petita, mishnei shein ben kmitza. There's no kmitza, and Rav Shimon's opinion is, kol she'ein ben kmitza, ain't ben besisa. And I saw that many Mefarshim, the Rashba and others, say that this is actually very consistent with Rav Shimon's opinion throughout Shas. Rav Shimon, there's two ways of learning this Mishnah and this Halacha. One Halacha is that the Torah wants us to make it into Petisim. Why? Because that's what the Torah wants. It should be made into Petisim. The other way of understanding this is, as we keep on learning, that the Torah wants us to make Petisa is because that's the way we'll be able to do Kemitza. So Rav Shimon is the man, the Omer, throughout Shas, that's Doirish time of the Krah. What does it mean that he says Pshat in the Pasuk? When the Torah tells us Halacha, he always says we have to look at the reason for this Halacha. The reason for this Halacha is because we want to be able to do Kemitza. Therefore, says Rav Shimon, if the whole reason for Petisa is because we want to be able to do Kemitza, where Kemitza won't be required, then there's no need to do Petisa. Begins the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, as we've been learning, Pasus Oisei Pitem, Yochel, we would suggest, L'Shnayim, that just folding it into two is enough, Tamaloyma Pisim, that we have to do another act of Petisa. E Pitem Yochel Yosena Perurim, that we have to crumble it until it's crumbs, Tamaloyma Pasos Oisei Pitem. Oisei Pitem, Vlepetita Lepitem, that we don't just keep on doing pesisa, we should do it twice. Ha-ketzad, and therefore, as we learned in the Mishnah, what is the procedure that's done? Mech Yisrael, kaifel echel l'shnayim, l'shnayim l'arba, we do two and then four, and then we mavdal, and as we've been learning, because that's how the kmitza will be able to done. Mech kahanim, when we speak about the mech kahanim, kaifel echel l'shnayim, l'shnayim l'arba, v'enim avdal, there's no reason to divide the pieces that were folded. When we speak about the Kai Mashiach, Hai Makaploi, we just fold it once. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, V'hanan Tanan, have we not just learned in the Mishnah, the Loyai Makaplo, that they didn't fold that Kara Mincha altogether? On a rabbi, to which rabbi responds, Ein a Makaplo Arba. It's not folded into four pieces, as we have been learning. But even though it's not folded into four pieces, Al Makaplo Shnayim, it is folded into two pieces. Rashi gives a different explanation why. He explains that there was less flour used, and since there was less flour used, we don't have to fold it. Another pshat, as we've discussed, is that the Korban Mincha was brought into 12 chal, the Michas Chavitim, that was brought into half, and we then divided them, according to Rambam, certainly we divided them, so they're very small, each one is divided in two, and then we do the kippel, and since it's divided that, so it's already so small, there's only one kippel, not anymore. Continues the Gemara, Rav Shimon Amir Michas Kahanim, Michas Kahanim Mashiach, Ein Bam Besisa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Hai Chavitza. There was a type of a food that was made out of breadcrumbs. Rashi explains that what it means was that they boiled the breadcrumbs. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that the way that they made this chavitza is that they took different types of honey, etc., and what they did was that they would connect the breadcrumbs with that, and that's how chavitza was made. So it says Rav Yosef, "Hai chavitza this by purim kazayis." If you have a kazayis, we have enough bread of a kazayis, then we make a moitzi lechem min haaretz. However, less by purim zayis, if we don't have that much breadcrumb, then the halacha is mevarchin alei bayim min hazaynus. We only make a bayim min hazaynus. Amar Rav Yosef, to which Rav Yosef comments, where do I know this from? So he quotes a brisa. Tanya, the brisa says, somebody was bringing menachas in Yerushalayim. The way he brings it, he makes a baruch shachiyanu kimanu v'yigyanu lazman hazeh. So there's a big discussion in the Rishonim. What does this mean when it says b'Yerushalayim? Because if we're going to learn that the Korban Mincha is only brought in Yerushalayim, so then obviously it's being brought in Yerushalayim. Because as we learned, a discussion already in Masechta Zvachim, if the Korban Mincha is brought only in Yerushalayim, it could be brought anywhere. So if the opinion is, if this Braisa holds that the Korban Mincha is only brought in Yerushalayim, obviously it's in Yerushalayim. And if the halacha is that you could bring Korban Mincha not only in Yerushalayim, so what does it say Yerushalayim? Says the Karen Ira, that even if we hold that a Korban Mincha can be brought not only in Yerushalayim, but the halacha of the Shechiyonu that we're learning, that halacha of the Shechiyonu is only made in Yerushalayim. Because only when you have Yerushalayim and you're bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash is it deserving of making a Shechiyonu. Why do we make a Shechiyonu? So Rashi explains, we're talking about a Kohen who never brought a Korban Mincha previously, or he's only bringing the Michas Eimer, which is brought once a year, and or it's a Kohen who has not brought a Korban Mincha this year, or all these are different pshatim that I saw in the Rishonim, or the Braisa here is speaking about Yisrael, who never had the opportunity to bring a Korban Mincha. Others explain that it's speaking about a Kohen, that this is the first time that he's doing the Avoida, and we know that the first time a Kohen does the Avoida, he's inaugurated to the Avoida, he brings a minchas chavitim, and that's the mincha that we're speaking about here that is bringing for that purpose. Another pshat that I saw, that since no kohen ever did the avodah more than twice a year, that's how it worked out with the mishmeres. So it's a big simcha every time, and if he makes a shachyanu, not in lachlan, and when he eats it, he makes a bracha, hamotzi lachem min aretz. But now, as the Gemara, as we learned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, when we make the mincha into pieces, the loch is pieces of kazayis, that you made each one a size of kazayis. So we see from here, presumably, that why do you make hamotzi? Because each piece has a kazayis. It seems that if it didn't have a kazayis, then you wouldn't make the bracha. So this opens up a most interesting question. We just discussed that we make a shachyanu the first time to bring a kav mincha. And the question when we speak about the shachyanu, there are many different situations where the question is, do we make a shachyanu or not? One, the Rama says that the first time that a person who's a shaychit and is going to shecht an animal doesn't make a shachyanu. And there are many reasons given for that. First of all, because it's not an obligation to shecht. Most of us are not shechtim. And something that we're not obligated to do, you don't have to make a shachyanu. Others explain, because you're killing an animal, and it's not appropriate to make a shachyanu when you're killing an animal. The point that it's something that you're not obligated to do, and you don't make a shachyanu, the shach says, well, let's learn our Gemara. That the Gemara is saying that we make a shachyanu when we bring a korban mincha. But the korban mincha is not something that we're obligated to do, yet we make a shachyanu. So we see that the fact that you're not obligated to do it is not something that is a reason not to make a shachyanu. And therefore, the question is, why don't... So we have to use the mitzvah to make shachyanu. So now the question is, there's so many mitzvahs. Agamar just said that a mitzvah that comes the first time you make the bracha. So why is the minig that the first time somebody puts on tefillin or the first time somebody puts on tzitzis, they don't make a shachyanu? So some say, certainly by tzitzis, children begin wearing tzitzis long before the bar mitzvah. So they can't make a shachyanu. And by the time they are bar mitzvah, it's not something new. And tefillin, the halacha is indeed, for those that put on tefillin before their bar mitzvah, it would have the same reason. But there are those that have the minig, that they don't put on tefillin till the bar mitzvah. Why do they not make a shachyanu? And it seems that, especially according to the different reasons that we gave by the shachyanu, it's something that comes only not occasionally. But certainly when we speak about tzitzis and tefillin, something that happens all the time, since it's something that happens all the time, the halacha is that we don't ever make a shachyanu. The question that I saw the Paiskim discuss, what about if somebody is appointed to Rabbonin, to Rabbonis? Does he make a shachyanu? So some suggest that if he has a family and they're going to be benefiting from his ability, from his being a Rav, so it's not a shachyanu. Whenever you're making a bracha for something good that you happened, then you make a hatoiv ametiv. So again, the question is, why don't you make hatoiv vametiv or shachyanu? And the reason I saw is that you only make a shachyanu by something which is a pure simcha. When it's not a pure simcha, Rabbonim have sometimes difficult days. And since they have difficult days, they don't make a shachyanu. But I did see that the Chassam Sofer says there was a big Talmud Chacham whose name was David Strauss Katz, who, when he was appointed to be a Rav, the first time he got up and he said, the Pasuk, V'yarech David as Hashem, L'ena kol akol, V'yarech David, his name was David, Baruch atah Hashem al kerem al chawam, shachyanu. So we see that there was some Rabbonim that made a shachyanu. I saw that those that had a minig, apparently this was a minig in Yerushalayim, there was somebody who was appointed to a rabbonus, he would get a new garment. And when he got this new garment, in the, which is a question for itself, do you make a shechiyonu when you get a new garment? But according to the opinions that you make a shechiyonu when you get a new garment, that's why they would buy him a new garment, and he would say a shechiyonu. I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed also has a discussion about this question, and he says that Rav Yaakov Rosenheim was appointed to be the president of Agudas Yisrael, and when he was given that appointment, he said it was done in front of many Gedolei Hador, Rav Chaim Oizer, the Chafetz Chaim, Dimri Emes, Ramey Shapiro, and he made a Shechiyonu. So isn't that a proof that when you're appointed to an important position, you make a Shechiyonu? So the Chashukei Chemed says that you can't compare the presidency of an organization to Rabbonus. When we speak about a Rabbonus, there are going to be people who are going to be dissatisfied. And because there are going to be people who are dissatisfied, it's inappropriate to make a Shechiyonu. But when you're being appointed to the presidency of an organization, it doesn't necessarily come with that type of heartache and headache, and therefore you can make a Shechiyonu. Says the Gemara. Amalei Abaye, Latana Debei, Rabbi Shmuel. Asks Abaye, so we were talking about, do you make a Moitzi or not when? Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaye, Latana Debei, Rabbi Shmuel, Dom Mefarchin, that you take the Karban Mincha and you crumble it, Atche Mechzir and Sultan, until they're like flour, Hachnami Deloi, Mevarach HaMoitzi, will the Halacha indeed be that you don't make a Moitzi? Says the Gemara, V'chi Tema, and if you'll suggest, Hachnami, that indeed you don't make Moitzi, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, V'tanya lika mekulin kezayis, if after you make petisa, you gather it into kezayis, v'ochloi im chametzu, if it's chametz and you ate in a Pesach, onish koris. V'matzahu, odom yotz ben midei chavasoi v'pesach. So we see that even small crumbs can be considered bread, and you make a moitzi. Answer the Gemara, when we're speaking about this Brisa, the Brisa on Pesach, my skin b'she'irson, that you kneaded them together into one kezayis, and since you kneaded them together into one kezayis, that's why you could be yoytz the mitzvah on Pesach, and even though, and therefore you can make a moitzi, and this is not similar to the chavitza. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Yehachi hanid the tani law fusha achlan b'chtei achilas pras. The Brice is saying that if there's going to be a chiv karis for any chametz, or you're fulfilling your obligation of matzah, is you ate them all in the amount of time kedei chilas pras, as we often have said in our shurim, anywhere from 3 minutes to 9 minutes. Vibi sha'arson, if it's one big piece now, because you combined it, so the wording of the Brice is misleading. It should have said sha'ochloi mi ba'ilei, that you ate in one piece. Elach ma'iskinen, b'bom elachim gadol. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef explains, that the Brisa was speaking about is that we didn't crumble it all up. And since we have still a whole piece that's something we're going to make a moitzi, so even the crumbs that come from that loaf still retain that chashivas, and that's why you make a moitzi. But when we speak about the chavitza, we're not talking about a case where the loaves is still intact. We took it and made it into a chavitza. And therefore, it depends if there's a kezayis or not. Ask the Gemara, my havalah, what is the halacha regarding the chavitza and the bracha? Rav Shishi sama filo perum she'ein by kezayis. Even if the crumbs don't have a kezayis, you still make a maitzi. Says the Gemara, however, Amar Rava, v'hu de'ika turisa namalai. It has to look like bread. If it doesn't look like bread, it doesn't make a difference if it has a kezayis or not. And this is the most important question that has many halachic ramifications. One is regarding knedlach, matzah balls. Do you ever make a hamotzi or matzah balls? So certainly, if you fry them and you put in other ingredients, then you wouldn't. But the Paiskim suggest that even if you have a matzah ball that's just made out of matzah flour. You still wouldn't make a hamotzi because it doesn't have a teraisa de nahama. It doesn't look like bread. And we're learning now that if it doesn't look like bread, you don't make hamotzi. Actually, there's a much more significant discussion, and that is on Pesach, certainly on matzah, we make a mitzi lechem and aretz. But the significant question that the Paiskim discuss is what's going to be the halacha all year round on matzah? Do you make a hamitzi or do you make a mezoinus? And there are many suggest that matzah doesn't look like bread. It doesn't have the teraisa than the hammer. And if it doesn't have the teraisa than the hammer all year round, we wouldn't make hamitzi all year round. You only make a mezoinus on matzah.